Paul says something very odd in the second reading here. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach. What is he talking about, their stomach? Is it like, are they have too much chocolate? I mean, what's going on here? And no, actually, stomach at that time in history was known to be really the symbol of the passions. You know, like we think of our heart, they thought of the stomach as the passions. That's their gut. It comes from their gut. And the passions comes from the stomach. And so their God is their stomach, their passions. And their glory is in their shame. So now that makes a little more sense, because today we can see that a lot. You know, we look at TV and we see all the things that go on TV. The people will sing the music. And of course, they're an easy target, our politicians. You know, they got the politicians and they revel in lies. It's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, you'll see them and they twist their words around to mean something it doesn't. Even in the titles of their laws they try to make, it says it's the exact opposite of what it actually does. And they kind of revel in that. They kind of smile when that happens. Even when an opponent is arguing against them, you kind of see them. They have this kind of smile on their face, because they're realizing somebody is using words in which it wasn't meant to be, and they know the tricks, and so they're kind of smiling about it. It's almost like they're reveling in the fact of lies, of the debauchery of the human soul. And even when we look at the things of the world and the things of the people on TV, they revel, they love it, when people do what they do, when other people sin and do evil. Boy, it's the first thing on the news. It's the first thing on the news. The commentator's smiling. What's that all about? Now, Paul contradicts all these things, the things of vice, the things that is their glory, their shame, right? He reminds us that we are citizens of heaven, but our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we're called to. We're not called to be of the world. We're called to be in the world. In the world, but we're still citizens of God, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, not of this earthly kingdom. We so quickly forget those things. So what is the opposite? What does a citizen of heaven think about? What do we do? As opposed, we know what the citizen of the world does. Everything's okay, right? The world says, go ahead, have that extra chocolate. I know you gave it up for Lent. Have it anyways. Right? Have that caffeine. Have that extra cup of coffee. I know you gave it up for Lent. Have it anyways. It's so good. You'll feel better after. Right? Do this. Do that. Listen to this music. I know the words are bad, but just listen to it anyways. Just listen to it. Everybody's doing it. Watch this TV show. There's bad things going on, but everybody's doing it anyways. It's okay. It's normal. Yeah, it's normal, and that's a shame. The ways of the world are normal. Lies, to be lied to, wouldn't you say it's pretty normal, especially by a politician? That's a normal thing. To see all the evils in the world, that's a normal thing. We all know them. Sometimes we do it ourselves. It's normal to sin, and that's a shame. As opposed to the citizenship of heaven, which focuses not on vice, but on virtue, where the first thought is not, what do I want to do? I want to follow my passions, you know, my way. I did it my way. Get it your way. All that. As opposed to Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? I want to please you. Well, that's something different. Taking into consideration what everybody else wants, what somebody else wants, especially God? Ooh. Now, maybe we sometimes do that with somebody who has a birthday. You know, somebody when you fall in love, maybe we remember when you're first married, for those who are married, you remember how you fell in love with that person. You thought, you know, I really want to do something for that person. Or maybe even with your children, you like birthdays and Christmas. What do you want? I'll do anything. I'll just do whatever you want. We'll just do whatever you want. You want to go wherever. The park, we'll go up to Noah's Ark up in the Dells. We'll go wherever. We'll do that. Whatever you want. When was the last time we thought about that? We had that thought with God. Where we said to Jesus, what do you want? And so we start thinking ourselves in the sense of virtue. What is good? What is holy? As opposed to what is normal or what the world says. Normal. I think about that many times. And I think about, if we were to die and say, we were to get into heaven. Would it be normal in heaven to do what we do of the world? I mean, what would we do? Would we say, hang our heads high and say, yeah, I did this. I, lied. I did all this stuff. No, it's usually like, it's kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of, that commercial. I think it's Prego commercials. One of those meat sauce commercials. And then you say, they had a taste test and you chose the other one, the one that you thought. What other bad decisions did you make? And they got images of, the punky outfit and oh yeah. So it kind of reminds us, when we were younger and we were children and we did something really dumb and we kind of regret we did. We kind of insert our foot and we're kind of foot in our mouth or something like that. We're like, oh yeah, I did that. It's kind of embarrassing, because we did it when we were younger. I think it'll be kind of that way when we get into heaven, because what's normal in heaven? Is sin normal in heaven? No. It's going to be one of those things that we're going to be like, oh yeah, I did that. And so what are we more concerned about? What's normal here on earth, or what's normal when we're going to spend our eternity there in heaven or in the other place? We hope not we're going to go there. But what is normal? What is normal for heaven? What is it normal? What is normal for a citizen of heaven, of the heavenly Jerusalem, to be a member of the church? So we start to see that we have to think in a little bit of a different way in our own lives to think about what is normal. Challenge ourselves, I got to get rid of the ways of the world. And that's what Lent is all about. Giving up those ways and saying, Jesus, I need to love you better. I need to start thinking about what your will is. I need to think about treating my brothers and sisters well. Taking care of the poor. Maybe we need to volunteer for St. Vincent de Paul. Helping those who are less fortunate. Maybe volunteering a little bit more in church, thinking about things in virtue, thinking about doing what is holy, encouraging other people in holiness instead of ridiculing them, listening to things that encourage us to the heavenly city instead of things that take us away from that or at least mitigate our chances or our thought processes. We do have to be careful of what we put in our minds, because what we put in our minds stays there. There is no delete button unless you get Alzheimer's. And sometimes when you get Alzheimer's, those memories come back at the oddest times. And you don't want them to come out then, right? I think that's probably one of the scariest things I think anybody should have is when we put something in our mind and if we get older and we start to get forgetful and we start saying things and one of those things pops out, I think we'd be horrified with that. We got to be careful of the things of the world and the ways of love and the ways of life. And so this is our challenge this Lent, to make sure that this Lent transforms our lives. Even after this Lent, the things that we do are not supposed to end here at this Lent and say, oh yeah, that was a nice Lent, it's done. This should change us. This should challenge us to say, you know what? I am a citizen of heaven. I'm just not there yet. And so we need to act accordingly as a citizen in heaven. That means we have to think accordingly as a citizen of heaven. That's your glory. That is what should be normal. Your glory should be normal. That is awesome. You're called to be awesome in the sight of God, to become a saint. And God is always there with you. The saints are always there with you, trying to help you, praying for you, interceding for you, that you can win the race, that you can stand the test. Let this Lent transform your life.